In Matthew chapter 21, verses 23 through 32, there is the issue raised by the Pharisees, by the chief priests and the elders, concerning a question of authority. And the question of authority has to do with what Jesus Christ has been doing in Jerusalem and in the temple, and what has occurred in the temple as he has come into the city as its king and into the temple as its king. And as Jesus worked and fulfilled prophecy, the Bible tells us that the chief priests and the elders were quite disturbed about the reception that he received from the people. And after Jesus had left the temple and gone to Bethany to spend the night, upon his return to the temple the next day, as he began to teach the Word of God to the people who were in the temple, his teaching was interrupted by the chief priests and the elders. And they came to him and they had this sort of dialogue. And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it, from heaven or of men?" And they reasoned with themselves, saying, "If we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did you not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet." And they answered Jesus and said, "We cannot tell." And he said unto them, "Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things." And then Jesus spoke the parable that Brother Ray read a few minutes ago. And then he spoke another parable after that parable. And all of these scriptures that we're going to study today have to do with a question of authority and what to expect from those who know that God has spoken to them and given them work to do, and that this information they have is authoritative information. I think it was something of a rude circumstance for the chief priests and the elders, and those evidently were the ruling elders, to interrupt and disrupt the teaching of Jesus as he was involved in instructing people concerning the Word of God. But they did interrupt, and they were distraught by all the things that had been occurring in the last day or two. And they said, "By what authority doest thou these things?" And the second question is, "Who gave thee this authority?" And the word authority means delegated power. It's the same word that we read in Matthew 28 when Jesus said, "All power," it's the same word, meaning authority, "is given to me in heaven and in earth." So this is the same word. By what authority? Who gave thee this authority? So they're saying, who gave you permission to do this? Who gave you a license to do the things that you have been doing? And Jesus didn't answer them. He asked them a question and said, "Let's swap information. I'll tell you by what authority I've done these things, and then you can answer some questions that I have to ask you concerning John the Baptist." And Jesus understood that John the Baptist had authority from God to preach his message, and to perform immersion. And so these chief priests and elders, they understood that they were hooked on the horns of a dilemma, that they really couldn't answer either way without causing themselves serious embarrassment. Jesus said, as he spoke to them, "I will ask you one thing, and if you will answer it, I in likewise will tell you." Now, Jesus answered a question by asking two more questions. But as we look at the questions that were asked by the chief priests, by what authority do you do these things? And by that, they meant, are you doing the things you're doing? That is, cleansing the temple, claiming to be a king. Are you doing this by permission from the nation of Israel? Are you doing it because you believe God wants you to do it? Are you doing it with permission from the Roman government? From what source has come your right or authority to do what you've done? And then the question, who gave you this authority? And that implies that they're saying, look, we know what you're doing. You may claim to have authority from the Roman government. You may have claimed to have authority from God. You may claim to have authority from the nation of Israel. You may have claimed the right to do this as a prophet. But there's one thing we know for sure. We haven't given you the authority to do this. We didn't. And we're the ones who are in charge of things in the temple. And you just barged in and took over and started doing things. We didn't invite you. We didn't ask you to give us your opinion. We didn't ask you to do what you've done. And therefore, because we have not asked you to do it, then you're not authorized to do it. Even though you may claim authority from God, you may claim authority from the state, you may claim authority from the people, whatever your source of authority may be, we want you to know that we're in charge and we didn't approve whatever anybody else told you, even implying that God wouldn't have told you to do this unless he had told us first to oversee your doing of it. Well, when Jesus saw what their problem was, he brought up the circumstances of John the Baptist and the baptism of John the Baptist, which also has to do with authority. Where did John get his authority? Who told John the Baptist that he could come into the world and preach and then immerse people upon their statement of repentance, upon showing that they had changed their lifestyle? Who gave John the authority, the permission, the license to do this? Where did it come from? From heaven, or did it come from men? That is, did John the Baptist do what he did because God gave him authority? Or did John the Baptist do what he did because men gave him the authority? And they reasoned with themselves. That is, they sat down and tried to think the thing through. Maybe it didn't take a long time because this was a very hot issue. Just because John the Baptist was dead at the hands of Herod, it didn't mean this issue of whether he was a true prophet of God or whether his baptism was something that came from God or whether he was just a nutty prophet, some hermit who'd gotten loose on the people and they accepted him. That issue had not been settled. And so they reasoned, that is, they thought it out. They gave some logic to it. And they said, if we say that the baptism of John was from heaven, then he will say, why did you not believe him? And I believe Jesus would have said that, don't you? If these chief priests and these religious leaders had said, we believe that John came and he immersed by the authority of God Almighty, then Jesus would have asked, then why aren't you immersed? Why haven't you done what the prophet of God, sent from God, has taught and commanded you to do? And they realized that that was an untenable circumstance. They realized they couldn't defend saying John had authority from God, but we don't have the baptism of John. They realized that they could never admit and say that. So they said, well, suppose we say then that his baptism was of men. Well, they realized that when they did that, the people who had accepted the authority of the ministry of John the Baptist and that it was from God, they would immediately be angered. And in their minds, they can see this vast crowd of people who has welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem and who have hailed him by crying out, Hosanna. Not only is this the Son of David, but this is the Lord. This is the Christ. This is Messiah. And then in the temple, there was that huge crowd of people who applauded what he did, who agreed with what he did when he expel the money changers, when he overthrew the tables and cast out those who made merchandise of the house of God. So they didn't. You know, when you don't know, when you're forming your actions on what people will say, you always have a difficult time deciding what to do. Whenever you start reasoning as these men did and saying, now if I do this, it'll make this person angry. But if I do that, it'll make that person angry. Or if I do this, it'll result in this. And if I do that, it'll result in that. Whenever we live our lives, especially religiously, trying to decide what's most popular, rather than trying to decide what's right, we're always going to be caught in this trap of the chief priests. We need to find out what God says. And when we found out what God says, then just plow a straight line right on through to glory, no matter who criticizes on the left, no matter who criticizes on the right, from above or from beneath. Just go on doing what we know God wants us to do. There are people today trying to decide what the people want. In fact, every brochure, advertising books that have just come out on market will tell us that the modern religious leaders of today, who are packing their churches full every Sunday, are doing it by running marketing surveys. They hire marketing groups who will go out into the area, maybe 30 or 40 miles or whatever the marketing area is, and they survey the people and they ask them, what do you want to hear or see or do on Sunday morning? What if a church did a certain things, how would you react to it? And they write down all these things. Well, we don't like wearing suits. We don't like wearing ties. We don't like formal circumstances. We don't like pews. We don't like long sermons. We like more drama. We like more singing. So these people design a service according to what the people want. Just like designing a new cereal. You know, what's going to be crunchy and what flavor is it going to be and what are you going to put in the package? You're going to put raisins, dates, whatever. Just what really will attract people? What is it they want? Well, instead of asking the people what they want, we ought to tell them what God demands. And I think that's the kind of circumstance we're in today. We just hadn't run any marketing surveys out here. And when the people told us they wanted a lot of social programs, they wanted something for the teenagers to do, wanted something for the little kids to do, wanted us to become an activist church, when we said we're not going to do it, we're going to preach the Word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ, they went somewhere else. Now that's what happened. He said, well, if you just preach the gospel, they'll just fill the building up. And that's not true. They won't do it. They'll fill it up. If we'll go outside the work of God and get entertainers and bring them in here and turn this stage, this auditorium into a fun house instead of a prayer house, it can be filled, but it'll be filled with people who are getting what people want instead of being filled with people who are getting what God wants them to have. It is a dilemma, but it's not for me. And I don't think it is for our people, but it was to these people because they were trying to avoid criticism on the one hand by those who felt John was a prophet and then being themselves convicted because they hadn't done what he said. They answered and did what a lot of people do. They told a lie. And that's what they did. They said, we cannot tell. They knew. They had a good idea. But it was easier to lie out of the circumstance than it was to meet the issue. And it's a lot easier to lie out of your sins and say, I'm not a sinner, than it is to meet the plain truth of God's word and admit you are a sinner. And there are a lot of things that when we take the word of God for it, human nature tells us we don't want to do it. We don't want to give our money according to human nature. We can do a lot better things with it. But our inward man, made in the image of Jesus Christ, wants to lay these things at the feet of God Almighty and please our Lord. There are a lot of things that the flesh tells us is a waste of time and energy and money. A lot of times we feel like we could do this, that, or the other according to the flesh. We're not here to please the flesh, but to serve God. And when these people said we cannot tell, they told a lie. And Jesus, who knew their hearts and refused to cast his pearl before swine, said, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. And then Jesus spoke a parable. And it's the one we've already read. And Jesus states in verse 28, but what think ye? In other words, think on this particular circumstance. Think on this particular situation. That is, a certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not, but afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Now, the father evidently represents God Almighty. It is usually true in parables. And here, these two sons represent two classes of people in the nation of Israel. Now, those who believe that these are the Jews and the Gentiles, but that's incorrect. We know that these two sons represent, first of all, what Jesus calls the harlots and publicans. And then the second son represents the chief priests and the elders. So it has to do with recognizing authority. Because if you recognize authority, you must obey authority. And if these people who are so interested in authority would recognize that God has spoken to the nation of Israel and given them a task to do and facts to believe and principles to accept, and yet they haven't done it, why are they so interested on this subject of authority? Now, the first time he spoke to his son and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. Now, that is the harlots and the publicans. The publicans, of course, were the tax collectors. They were Jewish, and yet they were despised and looked upon as having sold out and become traitors to the nation of God, to the Israelites. So here are two despised groups. The harlots, and this is not a spiritual harlot. This is a literal, physical harlot. A literal, physical tax collector. Both of these despised. And when Jesus came, or John the Baptist came and preached, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, the harlots and the publicans said, we will not. This is the parable and what Jesus is saying. When John came and preached authoritatively, when John came and preached the kingdom of heaven is at hand, repent. And he did it by the authority of God Almighty. The publicans and the harlots said, we won't do it. But the Bible tells us that later on, they did. He came to the second son and he said, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And they heard the message and they said, oh, sure, we'll do it. But they didn't. Now Jesus said, which of these two did the will of his father? Well, they said unto him, the first. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots will go into the kingdom of God before you. Now here's the basis of that statement. For John, so the subject is still John. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness. Not only did he come to you in the way of righteousness, in that he came the way that God told him to come, but the way that he walked in was the way of righteousness. John came to you in the way of righteousness. He was being and doing what is just and right in the sight of God. And ye believed him not. Now that's quite an accusation. John the Baptist didn't come eating and drinking, rejoicing, gluttonous, entertaining. John the Baptist was a serious person. And he came and he gave the message of God. He walked in the way of righteousness. And ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, that is, when you saw the publicans and the harlots receiving him, when you saw them believing the message of John the Baptist and repenting, then you would not do what they did. You would not repent. When you had seen it, you repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. So Jesus rebukes these people for not acting upon the authority that they saw that John possessed when he preached repentance and said that they were to be ready for the coming of Messiah. Jesus said, you saw other people, people who are shut out of society, who are the very worst people that your society can describe. And you saw these people coming to God. You realized what was happening, but that also was ignored. They had really two things. They had the authoritative message of John and the results that this authoritative message worked. And they still would not act upon the authority not only of the spoken word, but of the example that was given to them. They were stubborn and mean-spirited and unrepentant, and they would not believe the message of John the Baptist, which would have led them to believe in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, what authority do we have today? Where is their authority today? For me and for you, where is there this heaven-sent, given authority? Does it exist? Well, if we listen to the religious world, they would tell us that every group has all authority to do anything they want to, just as long as there's some good that comes out of it. In fact, the new generation called Generation X, they're having a great difficulty accepting the fact that there is any kind of authority anywhere. And it is a result of Spockism, and not the one on Star Trek, by the way, but a man who actually lived on this earth whose name is Dr. Spock. who encouraged parents starting about 40 years ago that they should not be authoritative figures. They should not argue with their children and say this is right and this is wrong, because that would cause all kinds of personality conflicts within them. And that we should not be, as parents, authoritative figures. Teachers should not be authoritative figures. It crept into the school system. It crept into the law enforcement. The policeman is our friend. The judge is simply there to help us. But they denied and de-emphasized authority. And people rebelled against authority. And we saw it with the hippie generation, where they refused to accept any kind of authority from anybody, anywhere. And we de-emphasized the role of authority to give order not only to the life of an individual, but also to our nation and perhaps even to the world. And listen, if you don't recognize authority, you're in for a great troublesome time in your life. Because God has given authority. God has given authority to a church to preach and baptize. And that church to whom God has given authority is a true Baptist church. And all the other churches are preaching without authority, and they're baptizing without authority, and they're worshiping without authority. But you say, don't they do a lot of good? Well, that's for God to decide. I'm just telling you that God didn't and hadn't and won't give authority to all the denominations and groups, inter and un and non, that exist in this world. It's simply not true. He said, well, just as long as they're doing good, I'm sure God is pleased with it. No, he isn't. God recognizes the authority that he gave the church now just as much as he did 100 years ago or 300 years ago or 1900 years ago. It's just as important that you have baptism that is authorized from heaven as it was in the days of John the Baptist. And I can tell you that God has given authority to nations. That God has given authority to judges. That the authority that rules and regulates our lives, that rewards the honest, good people of this world and punishes the criminal, is an authority that comes from God Almighty. And we have not recognized that, because people have told us how happy we would be if we could just live in an authoritatively free society. If we just didn't have any authority at all, how happy we would all be. My friend, we are now seeing the tragic results of people who despise authority. And even people who have authority are refusing to use the authority that God and the people have given them. Authority ought to be... See, the Bible tells us we don't have any reason to fear authority if we're not doing things that are wrong and illegal. The religious leaders were saying, we're doing God's work, but they weren't. That is, the chief priests and Pharisees weren't. When they heard and saw authoritative figures, they would not repent and enter into his vineyard and go to work. Now the next parable tells us what happens when you will not do what God tells you to do or gives you the authority to do. If we do not use the authority that God gives us, then we stand in a position of judgment before God. And Jesus tells another parable. Then he explains to these people that the kingdom of heaven will be taken from you and given to another group. And the reason that Jesus is going to tell them this is because they would not work in the Lord's vineyard. And so the Lord gave it to another nation and said, they will work in my vineyard.